Yep. Anyway, good morning. We've got our IT sorted, so that's fine. So I'll hand over to George, who's going to go through some of the intimations with us.
Good morning, everybody. And a welcome to you. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. We celebrate communion this morning. The clue could be the table. Is open to all who love the Lord. We have an Easter newsletter, and today was the final day for your contributions. We're a wee bit short in contributions, so if there's anything you would like to put into the newsletter, especially about activities at the church, I'm looking at Mrs. Downey at this moment in time for activities, anything at all would be very, very welcome. Now, Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. That's a great saying. The church is open on Wednesday afternoons until the end of March from 1:30 to 5 o'clock. The final film for now is Downton Abbey, A New Era, to be shown this Wednesday, the 22nd of March at 2 p.m. On Wednesday the 29th, there will be a cuppa, a blether and a games meeting. A Beetle Drive. First Cairney Hill Rainbows, Brownies and Guides are hosting a Beetle Drive and raffle on Thursday the 23rd of March in Cairney Hill Scout Hall, starting at 6:30. Entry is £5 per family and there will be refreshments. All proceeds from the event will be donated to Disaster Emergencies Committee, Turkey and Syria Appeal. Come along for a fun night. The Art Fest Art Fest 2023. Artwork from our primary school will be presented in church this Saturday, the 25th of March. Refreshments are available. Entry by donation to the Disasters Emergency Committee. And it's going to open from 10 till 12 noon, and then short break, and then 2 till 4 in the afternoon. Holy Week and Easter. There will be short evening gatherings in church during Holy Week, that's the 2nd to the 7th of April. We also plan to have an outdoor dawn service on Easter Sunday, that's the 9th of April, as well as our main service at 11:30. The dawn service, I think, normally starts at 7:30 a.m. Okay. Now, just a wee short note, there'll be no Zoom on the 2nd of April. Please note, we're unable to present a Zoom for that particular service. Now, ladies' conference, mirror, mirror on the wall. Flyers are available today for this event, which is to take place on Saturday the 15th of April in Limekilns Church. Other informations. There are further informations on the printed sheet, and these can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. Finally, here's a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
We are here this morning to worship God and particularly to worship around our Lord's table. So let's take just a moment of quiet before we sing to God's praise and glory. Let's sing now. Hymn number 482. Come, let us to the Lord our God.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we ask you to bless our offering. Bless all that we give of our time, talent, and money, and use our gifts in the work of your church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now George is going to lead us in our prayers.
We wish to gather together for prayers of thanks and confession. And this morning, a particular aspect of... I'll mention that later, sorry. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this Mothering Sunday, we would wish to thank you for and ask your blessings for all mothers in our world. May they continue to nurture, care, and surround their children with their special mother's love, with the knowledge of your special love for them. Loving God, we praise and worship you, for you are a great and loving God. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, to tell us of your love, and to help us to see how you want us to share that love with all around us. In this time of Lent, enable us both to examine our conscience and to inform it, both to examine our faith and deepen it, and to watch and pray as Christ would have us do, so that we can recognize temptation and spurn it. Forgiving God, we come before you confessing that sometimes in our actions we have succumbed to temptation, and by doing so we have failed you. Sometimes in our loving and forgiving we have failed you. Sometimes in our believing and trusting in you we have denied your grace and power, and again we have failed you. Therefore now, we wish in a moment of silence to come before you in humble confession to seek your forgiveness of our personal sins where we have failed you. Forgiving and loving God, thank you for listening to our prayers and for your loving forgiveness. Amen.
In the study booklet that we're using through Lent, we moved this week from looking at Old Testament passages to the New Testament. The overall theme for the past week was justice as encounter. And of course, that is encounter with Jesus. The subject for this weekend in that booklet is contagious holiness. Sometimes the easy bit of planning worship is where we have something like a study book that we're going through. It gives us a title and it gives us readings, and I write those down and it all looks fine in my worship planner. But then I have to sit down and put the service together. As I began writing for this week, I realised that this Sunday is a Communion Sunday. And of course, it is also Mothering Sunday. And the question that arose in my mind was, could I tie the study guide, Communion, and Mother's Day together in a service? Starting with Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday, we all know that the origins of this celebration lie with the church. It was about Mother Church, rather than mothers in the sense of family relationship. In our society, the origins have been forgotten and the day has become a celebration of mothers, a day when cards, flowers and gifts will be given, a day when many women will receive a treat from their children. Turning to communion, I realised that there was a connection between Mother's Day and communion in the sense that often a meal is involved. If you're a lucky mum, you might be taken out by your children and fed. And of course, communion is based upon a meal. In both of these meals, we concentrate upon an individual. For Mother's Day, mum is the guest of honour. At communion, Jesus is the host. But we recognise that we are concentrating upon Jesus at this table. And so to the study guide. There we find that the reading chosen for this Sunday is about Jesus calling Levi as a disciple, and the result of that call is that Jesus is in his house at the table. It's a meal where Jesus is described as sitting with tax collectors and sinners. As I thought about this story, I began to see a connection with communion and Mother's Day. I was very fortunate to have good parents. I experienced unconditional love. I know that not everyone has this as part of their family life, and so I know I am very fortunate. In that unconditional love, particularly from my mother, I realise it was not uncritical love. As a child, teenager and adult, I did not get away with wrong behaviour. And for that, I am grateful. I hasten to add, grateful as an adult, I may not have been quite as grateful as a child. In communion, Jesus invites us to his table. His love is unconditional, as it was when he sat with those tax collectors and sinners. At this table, we are aware of our imperfection. We know that this is for our spiritual well-being. Here we have Jesus' unconditional but not uncritical love for us. In our study guide, the reminder of Jesus' infinite love. A love that is demanding, a love that will not stand for any injustice, a critical love. So let's hear our Bible passages for today. Marian is going to read to us from Psalm 32 and that story that I mentioned, which is from Mark's Gospel.
Our first reading is from the book of Psalms 32, verses 1 to 5. You forgave me my sin. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Second reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 2, reading verses 13 to 17, and it's entitled Eating with Sinners. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen.
Hymn number 555, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. As I sat thinking about this service, I realised that it was 15 years ago that I last bought a Mother's Day card, and that led me to a bit of reminiscing. I grew up in much more traditional times, in a much more traditional family. My mum was not expected to work after she married my dad. Or maybe I should really put that as my mother was not expected to have paid employment after she married my dad. Housework was hard labour in the days before most domestic appliances, and I well remember my mum doing the washing for a family of five with two sinks and a wringer in between. almost all of my life was under the control of my mother, because my dad worked long hours, and certainly early in my life he commuted quite a distance, and so I would sometimes have the treat of waiting up to see my dad come in from work, which was often at the back of 8 o'clock in the evening. So Mum was in control, and that included discipline. I grew up knowing that if I did wrong, I was in trouble. And if I did wrong and then lied to get out of that trouble, I was in real trouble. And these were the days, of course, when it was quite normal to receive a scalp. And I don't know how many of you received a scalp off and on. That said, most punishments that I received tended to be sanctions of some kind or another. There was, you'll stay in, you'll not be out with your pals. And worst of all, in those days when there was very little children's television and no way of catching up or recording it, no television tonight. But those things were only really there if a telling off wasn't enough. I certainly learned that there were consequences when you did something wrong. But the worst punishment of all, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, was where there was no punishment at all. All that my mother did was said, "Norman, I am very disappointed." Now, I would have rather had a scalp. I would rather have had some kind of sanction, because it made me feel awful. None of us like to be in the position of hurting someone we love. The hurt we suffer as a consequence of causing hurt is worse than any punishment that we can be handed out. One of the effects of love is the desire to please the one we love. We don't want to be the cause of hurt. But we are imperfect people in an imperfect world, and we all make mistakes. Much of the time we do wrong without meaning to. But there are times when we make wrong choices and we know we're doing that, almost always to immediately regret the choice we've made. We all know there are times when we need to apologise, or people need to apologise to us. There are times where it is very difficult to say, "I'm sorry," and we can struggle with the words, "I forgive you." But we know that saying sorry and forgiving are key elements in all of our relationships. Contrition and forgiveness are key elements of true justice. And of course, we've been looking at the subject of justice through Lent. Confession only really works when the response is forgiveness. Forgiveness only really works when the other confesses their wrong. Key to contrition and forgiveness is love. Where we are at fault, we want to make things right. And when we hurt someone we care about, we want to be forgiven by them. When we are the innocent party, we want to be able to forgive that person that we care about. At the heart of the gospel is God's love for broken humanity. The more we read the Gospels, the more we read the Bible, the more we see an absolute determination to forgive humanity. God longs to forgive us. And maybe there is no better place to think about this than our Lord's table. Here we have the very physical elements of bread and wine. As we break the bread, we recognize that Jesus was broken for us. As we receive the wine, we know that Jesus gave his lifeblood so that we could live. And particularly as we celebrate in Lent, this close to Easter, our thoughts turn to the connection between communion and the Last Supper. We often refer to those words that Jesus spoke to his disciples at the Last Supper as Jesus' institution of the Lord's table. He said we're to do this and remember him. We've talked about the bread and the wine as Jesus' body and blood. We have a very definite reminder that this is the Lord's table. It's Jesus who invites us. Our concentration is upon Jesus. But thinking about the Last Supper, what about the people who sat there? Who was it who received the bread and the wine at that table? Well, the Easter story is pretty clear. Jesus invites to his table and gives the bread and the wine to people who are about to abandon him to his fate. To Peter, who will deny Jesus as his friend in the most damning way possible. And to Judas, who will be the instrument through whom Jesus is betrayed. And as I was thinking about that, I realized what a connection there was to the story that we read from Mark's Gospel. From the beginning of the Gospel to the completion of the Gospel, Jesus eats with sinners. Jesus is consistent in his choice of whom he will embrace. One of the comments made in the study booklet is that sin was regarded as contagious. By associating with those who were condemned as tax collectors and sinners, Jesus is regarded as tainted by that association. And that's something that we have in our psychology. I can remember as a teenager being taken aside by my parents who were concerned how I would be viewed because of some of my associations. In my wider group of friends, there were one or two folk who, let's just say, had an interest in illicit substances. And my parents said to me, "People will think badly of you if you associate with these folk." The great and the good questioned why Jesus associated with tax collectors and sinners. To eat with them meant he must be a sinner, contaminated by contact with the contagion of sin. Of course, as we read the Gospels, what we find is actually the opposite. Jesus has the opposite effect. Rather than Jesus being contaminated, it is others who are transformed. And this is what the study booklet refers to as contagious holiness. And just to put that into a slightly different context, back to Mother's Day. I find it fascinating to watch my daughter giving good advice to her children that I remember my mother giving to me. Good parenting is contagious down the generations. And those of us who are parents, how many of us recognize that the good things our parents said to us, we are saying to our children, and then it goes on to our children's children, and so on. Thinking about communion, This is not just about what we receive from Jesus. This celebration is also proclamation. In talking about communion, we say we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. And from this table, we go out with what Jesus has given us. We go from this table infected by God's grace and mercy. We are called to be a transforming power for good in the world. We are to be a holy people, to live God's justice. And surely this is expressed through a contagious love and grace. We pass on what we have received through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. We are meant to have a contagious holiness. The contagion that we have received from God that we take out to share in the world. So as we think about that and about our world, George is going to lead us in our prayers for others.
Our prayer for the world and others. Please let us pray. Heavenly Father, we this Sunday come before you and again pray for all who are involved in armed conflicts throughout the world. We are witnessing through television the continued fighting in the war in Ukraine, where both sides are experiencing tremendous loss of life, especially in the battle which has been raging for the last few months in the south of the country. And now entering the second year of this war, we pray for all the families, both Ukraine and Russian, who have lost loved ones in this conflict. We pray that the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, will finally realize that all of the entire free world are in support of the Ukraine's peoples. And despite his defiant actions of the last 24 hours, we will not allow his success in his personal aspirations, and therefore he should seek a peaceful solution. We also pray for peaceful solutions in the many other places in the world where armed conflict exists, and that the opposing decision makers in those lands can come together in peace. Helping God, we pray that you can help all those who are affected by the horrendous natural disasters. This morning, another earthquake has struck in Ecuador and Peru. We don't know the casualties or destruction caused. We remember that the people of the terrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And we also think of the man-made climate changes, such as in Malaysia, where typhoons are battering the coastal areas, causing total destruction and countless deaths. In our own nation, we are now hearing daily of strike actions by workers in so many areas of employment, which is causing tremendous problems for people affected by their action. We pray that the decision makers, whether they be political or in private industry or in unions, will sit down together with and meet and find a remedy to resolve these strikes and allow normality to return to our nation. Heavenly Father, we would now pray for the Church of Scotland as we face the challenges as a result of the need to change to grow again as a missionary church. Father, Help us as a congregation to accept that change will be required. And we pray for all who are involved in the decision-making process in determining the best solution for our West 5 cluster of churches. Finally, Heavenly Father, we would wish to bring before you in prayer, in a few moments of silence, family and friends whom you wish through your love and your divine power to help. Thank you, Father, for listening to our prayers. Amen.
Our communion hymn is number 549, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. As we prepare to meet at our Lord's table, can I remind you of the way that we now do communion? This, of course, has come through the changes that took place over the last 3 years, and because we no longer have the common cup. So we can all eat together and drink together. So the elements go out and we hold on to them until I say the words of institution, and then we all eat together, and equally when the cup comes out, we all drink together. part of that is it's the normal way that we eat, and the other is that it reminds us that we are doing this together. This is the fellowship of the Lord's table. This is indeed the Lord's table. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we follow the example of our Lord in word and action. As Jesus gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. It is right to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, Creator and Lord of all. You created all things in heaven and on earth. You are the giver of life. You created humanity in your own image and gave us stewardship of the earth. When we and all humanity had fallen, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your love, to save us from sin and death. We are here, gathered at our Lord's table by his invitation. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the bread and upon the wine, that we who eat and drink at this table may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we know the unity of Christ, and in this bread and wine, a foretaste of eternal joy. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, all honour and glory are yours, now and forever. And as our Saviour taught us, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we have received at our Lord's table. Here we have received the true bread of heaven. We have received the cup of promise. Here we are united in worship with your people on earth and your people in heaven. Grant that, strengthened by this fellowship and by the presence of your Holy Spirit, we may continue Jesus' work in the world. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so to our closing praise. Hymn number 450, Christ is the World's Redeemer.
World's Redeemer, the God of all.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.